Metal Maniacs, this is Ralph from Odeum, and welcome to Dave Softee's Metal Meltdown on Metal Messiah Radio!
Hey there, Metal Maniacs, today we have a real treat for you, so please welcome back to Metal Messiah Radio and the Metal Meltdown, our brother from German melodic thrash metal band Odeum, Mr. Ralph Runkel. Yeah, it's great to have you back here, brother, how you doing?
Hi, David. Feels good to be back on air with you in Metal Messiah Radio.
Yeah.
And I hope everything is okay with you, though.
Oh, yeah. Everything's great. Great to be back here for the seventh season of the Metal Meltdown on Metal Messiah Radio. And I want to especially thank you for your patience upon getting this done and my return to the airwaves because of work and all that. But, you know, you're a priority, and I'm glad that we're here to do this now.
Yeah, the seventh season already?
This is the seventh season here, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's the third season that I'm joining you, isn't it?
This is actually our third interview, right? The first time we got to do this, LC actually connected us. There was back in the day where we had MySpace.
And, yeah.
And then we did another interview a couple years later with your last release, Beautiful Violence. And we did a CD showcase for that, and that was a lot of fun. And I remember that banner was really, really red. And and this new banner for this interview, it looks great. And it goes very well with the Science of Dying color scheme.
Yeah, LC did a great job again.
Yes, he always does.
He really thank you, LC.
Yes, thank you, LC. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about your newly released CD, The Science of Dying on Noisehead Records. This is your second release with them, right?
Yes, the second one, yeah.
Right. But before we get into that, there's something more important I'd like to talk to you about, and that's you and how you're doing, because I do remember our last conversation, you were just recuperating from, I believe it was some sort of heart surgery. Not that you had a heart attack, but you had maybe a valve put in or something. Can we have an update on that?
Yes, of course. Yes, thanks for asking about that, because took me some time to get over it. I had not really a valve, a new valve, but they call it a recovery of the valve. That's what they did. And in the beginning, it was like hard for me to hold still, you know. Don't go out, not drinking, not even going to any festivals, concerts, not even coming back on stage for the first 6 months. So that was a really, really hard time for me. But now I'm feeling well and everything is okay. And I stopped smoking, you know, I quit drinking so far. So, come on. Life could be worse.
I hear you, and I can relate to what you're saying, because we're not getting any younger, and there's times you're going to have to do something or give up something to be healthier in this world. So you're doing the right thing by yourself.
Yeah, that's true. And yes, of course. And even so, I hope nobody's listening because I'm doing sports now.
Why don't you want them to hear that? Why?
No, because I was always the couch potato, you know.
I never knew that, because you always looked like you were in good shape to me.
Ah, thank you, thank you.
That's, I see you grooving down to your videos with the music. It's like, this guy is getting into it. So I figure you were, like, healthy.
Yeah, that's different. If you would see me now, you would say, this guy is crazy, because everybody says I'm a stage hog, and I'm moving, and after 2 minutes, I'm sweating like hell. But I can keep over 90 minutes easily now, so.
I hear you.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I really like this latest offering, and I have to tell you, for me, since I've known you for three interviews, now this is the third, with Stop My Anger, that's the first CD with you as the leader, the front man, and then with Beautiful Violence, and now this, The Science of Dying, I find and I feel that the band has grown as far as they feel like, to me, they sound like a tighter unit, and it feels to me like Odeum has grown from release to release this is a really great effort. And I believe you told me one of the big differences in this sound is that you have an actual new drummer. Could you tell us more about this drummer and how he became part of Odium?
Yes, brother, you're absolutely right. Since Jan, this is our new drummer, joined the band, we feel completed, you know. Now we're a real unit, we're a band, we're more than a band, we're friends all together. And Jan was the missing link in our DNA, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
And it's great to have him as a part of the band. It's great to have him as a friend. And so many things have changed during the last 6 years since we both know each other. So I really feel that the band has come more together. I mean, we've been touring a lot in Germany. We've been playing in the Netherlands and abroad, everywhere. So it was really... we had a real good time together, and we stick our heads together, and all you can say is that we will have a lot of fun. Even, you know, put us five in one room without anything, and after 5 hours you will open the room and everybody's laying on the floor laughing and having fun. That's gorgeous. It feels so good.
That's great. It sounds like you're doing very well with Odium at the present time, and that the future of Odium looks even brighter than it used to look.
Yes, yes, definitely. We are ready for everything, you know. A few years ago, we were like struggling. What will we do? And, you know, things don't always go well. And sometimes you have a little problem, but it turns out a big problem just because you don't feel right together. But now if we have even the biggest problem we could have as a band, it's nothing, you know?
Yeah. That's life, though. That's how it goes. You got to roll with the punches sometimes. And sometimes you get lucky and things go your way. And that's what happened now with Jan.
Yeah. I can really say it's the missing link in our DNA. That's what I said, and that's it.
That's awesome. If we can, Ralph, I'd like to share with the world out there more about this particular release. If we could talk about where it was produced, recorded, who was responsible for the mastering of it, and the CD cover art, all that stuff that's related to this particular album. Could we delve more into that?
All right. As you already said, the CD was... produced by Noisehead Records, and our producer was again Mario Jetzik from Noisehead Records. But this time we didn't go to Austria to record the CD. We got the producer here to us to Germany, and that made it very, very easy for us to feel, yeah, like home. You know, it took a lot of pressure off all of us. And we had enough time to go through each track, and and even the feeling was better, as you can hear on each and every track on the CD, I believe.
Yeah, it's an outstanding collection of songs, and it's really a concept album, which we'll get to in a bit. One thing I noticed, that I always considered Odium to be a power thrash band or a thrash power band, but I've noticed in your promoting of this on the Facebook, you tag it as melodic thrash metal, and I have to agree, the music has changed, the sound of Odium has changed, where it's less more of a power type of sound, more of a melodic thrash metal sound, which is a very cool thing.
Thank you very much. And I think it's also part of our, how can I say it the best way? It's, you know, I believe we have grown in the last few years, and also mentally. So I think...
what you're saying is Odium has arrived.
Yes, maybe not arrived, but we're close to arrive. And we are already thinking about our next CD. And we've been talking yesterday about some new songs. So there's no still standing for us.
Well, that's great to know that you'll be back here to talk about that in a year or two from now.
Yes, of course, Dave. Always with you. You know.
So how is Noisehead working out for the band? Are you happy with the progress that they're doing with you, for you?
Noisehead did a good job recording, producing, and mastering the CD. They also did some promotion, but the most of the promotion we have to do by ourselves.
I see.
I believe there could be more effort and much more promotion, especially because we have a guy named Paul Deano singing a whole track on this CD.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Normally, I say if it was like Nuclear Blast Records or Metal Blade or a big label, they would promote it. They would treat the hell out of this one song.
Right.
It was Paul Deano.
I got you. Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from with that. Yeah.
So I believe we're doing very well. We're no big deal number in Germany, but we have our name and everybody knows us, so that's cool.
That is cool. Also, something else is cool that you just spoke to me about or chatted with me on Facebook about, which I want to know more about. I believe you said that vinyl will be available down the road at some point for this particular release.
Okay, first of all, yes, absolutely right. We will release The Signs of Dying as a limited gatefold, full-length vinyl LP. Okay? There will be only 500 pieces. So if you want one of the first, be quick.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because everybody's saying, oh, why are you doing this? And vinyl is old school. Maybe we are old school, but it's not because a boost of any sales or something like that. I think it's a great feeling, to be on vinyl.
I understand. I've had conversations with other musicians about vinyl, and the thing that they love about the vinyl is that not only is they say the sound is something better than CD, which I don't really understand that, but just the fact that you could hold it in your hands and you really feel like you're holding on to something special because it's right there in front of you, not like a little CD jewel case. It's a little bit different.
You're listening to Metal Messiah Radio.
All right, Ralph, you know, I think I totally understand about the concept of the vinyl, and I hope to have one in my hands when it is available.
I promise, Dave. I promise.
Yes. How about we start the CD showcase where we could talk about each track, the background about the track, the subliminal messaging maybe inside the lyrics of it, and talk more about track from track to track so we could fill in the Metal Maniacs out there and they could enjoy learning more about The Science of Dying.
Yes, you're very welcome to The Science of Dying.
Yes. So let's talk about the first track, the actual title track, The Science of Dying. Straight away, we hear something that sounds very different, very interesting, and is a great segue to the coming tracks. As I listen to the words to the music, I am begged to think that this is a very personal tune. As a matter of fact, I think the whole entire album is almost like a diary from you. You're sharing your deepest, darkest, interpersonal feelings through your music. Anyway, that's my take on it. I think it's related to what we were talking about before with your recent health and life experiences. But what I'm very concerned about when you talk about, you talk about the presentation, which is what this is about. We're presenting to the world your album, but when you talk about your final exam, it makes me wonder, what are you talking about? What final exam? Was there, after talking to you about the future of Odium, this particular this particular tune gives me like questions about it.
No worries. No, it's about a documentation I saw back in 2012, just before my heart surgery. And it was always on my mind. There was a young doctor in the middle age. And you know how it is when they experience sicknesses and that. And they did experiments. And he knew he would kill himself with one injection. And then he would do like a diary of dying. So,
interesting.
That was the science of dying. And that's all what's about it. Because if you really listen to it, there's one phrase in the song. It says, "My name will be God," you know? Uh-huh. And I would never say, "My name will be God."
Hey,
not for me.
You never know, you know?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. That's the only thing the song is about. But it's really, really interesting because there was this guy who killed himself and wrote down everything. Or, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you letting us know the background behind this tune. Everybody, let's go check out The Science of Dying. Now let's listen to track number 2, Who Am I? I like it's like, I am you, I am I. To me, it's like the character within this tune either has a split personality, so to speak, or is battling with himself, with one's being, like he is fighting some inner battle that he's trying to express. I, outside of that, I don't understand if this is another personal song or what it is actually about.
All right. The song is about split personality in a way, but it's also about, it's a song for everyone looking at each other and being jealous about things, or you know, it's about what are you doing, what are you saying, you know, everybody is just like, what is he doing, what is she doing, why does he do that? And and it's like holding the mirror in front of your face. I am you. I'm not much more different than you are.
Ah.
I'm just another person, you know?
I see. See, I thought too much into it. Like, it sounded to me like some schizophrenic or something.
Nah.
Seriously.
But I like it very much. I like the lyrics, of course. And I like the final part is, what is your intention to bring me down?
Right.
And I know who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes the point, you know, that's the point. I know who you are because you are no different than me.
Very well said. Very well said. All right, let's crank up. Who am I? All right, now we get to the standard operation procedure. For me, this is like back to back with The Science of Dying. It works very well with when you hear the two songs back to back. And here you have another scientific intro. And when you hear the words, I'm thinking that this is another tune that comes from deep inside you, the torture of life, which I think a lot of people can relate to out there.
Yeah, that's just the correct thing. It's about the torture of life. It's about all the tortures we have to go through. Each person has to go through losing people, suffering from sickness, and you know. So that was my part to express all of that, and the reason why it's very similar, I believe, to The Science of Dying is because it was written almost in a row. Because there was this feeling, you know, sometimes you got that feeling inside to express yourself.
Right.
And yeah, it's like it was like a valve where I could just push it out.
I understand that. It's a great tune.
That's it.
Yeah, right. Let's go crank up. Track number three, the standard operation procedure. All right, so now we get to track number four, which you touched upon during the beginning of our interview. And this is Die With Pride, which features Paul Di'Anno, which we were mentioning that he's a big name, former Iron Maiden frontman. And it's really a good idea to have some well-known musician as a featured guest on an Odium album, or on any album, so to speak. How did this opportunity come to be, and could you delve into how it all happened?
All right. First of all, we organize a small festival here in Germany, and 3 years ago, we were looking for a headliner, and we found Paul Di'Anno, just like, you know, standing there and saying hi. And we said, hi, do you want to be headliner of our small festival? And he said, oh, yeah, why not?
Very cool.
Cool. Yeah, and so we booked him, and we had this connection, you know, like if you meet somebody like we did from the beginning on, we were like, hey, you. The chemistry was good. And so he asked us, hey, guys, you want to come and tour with me through Germany? And we said, hey, yeah, why not? And normally bands pay a lot of money to go on tour with a person like Paul Di'Anno or Blaze Bailey. And he didn't charge us anything. We shared the hotel, we shared the catering, and sometimes when the promoters didn't treat us right, Paul came up and said, hey, give them what they want right now, you know. And sometimes we were playing on festival, like 2012, we were playing in the Czech Republic together on this huge festival, Masters of Rock, in front of 10,000 people. And we only had a very, very small, poor backstage area. And he said, hey, come over in my backstage area. We have enough room, we have enough beer, we have enough whiskey. So let's share it, you know. And last time, 2012, when 2013, sorry, we've been on tour. And I think we were in Holland. And we asked him, and we said, hey, Paul, we want to do a new album. How about you singing a song for us? And he said, hey, guys, why not? Would be cool. And so what we didn't knew was that this time when he did this for us was the first time in 8 years that he went back to the studios.
I didn't know that either. Wow.
And that was cool for us because there was no star behavior or something like that. He was really, really cool. He was relaxed, and it took him, let's say, half a day. He's a very, very, very professional singer, and he did that tune in really, was chorus, was everything in half a day, and that was great. Was a nice experience for all of us.
Congratulations. I'm glad that it all worked out, and I'm glad that you were able to get on the show with him and not have it be expense for you. That's very cool. You lucked out very big time there.
Yeah, really, really, really. And now we have two more shows coming up this year with Paul Di'Anno in Germany.
Awesome.
And then he will introduce next year his new band, The Architects of Chaos, which we had the honor to listen to during the sound checks they did. And I can tell you, Dave, there's something coming up.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to check that out. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the inside information.
check them out.
Absolutely will.
So I would say, listen to it. And here it is, Die With Pride, sung by Paul Di'Anno.
Crank it up. All right, so now we get to track number five, Pain. I got to tell you, a lot of the tunes that are on this CD, lyrically, they can be interpreted, and I think that's the word, I am interpreting it as personal experiences that we all go through, and as it's displayed throughout the entire album, really. On this particular tune, I feel that there's explaining that you have this pain, but now is a time for healing. Would you agree?
Totally. Totally. Awesome. And I will not waste one more word on that. Just crank it up, guys.
Oh, yeah? All right. Crank up pain. Okay, now we get to track number 6, War. Yet another personal type of song that everyone that could relate to. And there's a chorus within the song that is repetitive. It goes, fight until we die. And there's a chorus, or a choir, I should say, that's chanting this as well. Could you tell us more about what this particular war is about? Is it a war within oneself again? Is it something that's going on within somebody?
It could be the war going in somebody, but it is also the war that you fight on the battlefield.
I see.
It's, you know, it's in times like this, it's really, really important to try to open people's eyes, because in every war, children have to suffer and children have to die, and that's the point where we got the children's core in it, because that makes it maybe more sad, you know, to get the people thinking about, is it really worth fighting this war? Do we have to go into war? I mean, I think there was never so many wars as at the moment, and it's never good, is it?
No, I totally understand you.
To talk about the song, it was a bit, like when I heard it the first time, and Mario and I went over the song in the studios, I said, I am missing something that will make the song really, really sad, you know, and maybe a children's core. And so we tried it. We got some children and we put them in the studio. And yeah, what I was afraid that it would be too much like They Want War from UDO.
No, I don't get that at all. I was thinking more on the lines like Pink Floyd-ish, you know.
Yeah.
You don't get your pudding if you don't eat your meat, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, if you do a song like this and you have the core sounding like UDO, that makes everybody say, nah, come on, that's stolen from UDO. But it wasn't stolen, actually. So
Right. All right, let's go check out War. All right, now we get to track number 7, A Tragedy. Now, this tune, for me, feels like a continuation of the previous tune, War, or I should say, the aftermath of it. From what I get from the song, is that confidence and trust have been compromised. And I guess that happens in reality when you're at war.
Whole life is a war, isn't it?
Right.
First you struggle in through your childhood, then through your youth, and after that you struggle in your whole life. I mean, you have to fight a war every day, sometimes smaller, sometimes bigger. A tragedy, is it? Because we can't trust anyone anymore. You can't trust the government, the leaders. I mean, they're all corrupt, you know, lying to us, telling us stories about, no, I didn't have the blowjob, no, you know, come on. It's a pity that everybody is just lying. So, a tragedy, I think this is a song which is about something I really believe in, that the confidence gets lost, you know?
Right.
Confidence can get lost everywhere.
Absolutely does, every day, like you said. Yeah, absolutely.
At your job, in real life, everywhere, you know? You find out they betrayed you, they lied to you your whole life, but in just 1 second they destroy everything, and so that's the point when confidence is lost.
Right.
And so that's a tragedy for me.
That is a tragedy for you and for everyone. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's go crank up a tragedy. All right, now we get to track number 8, Princess of Death. Very interesting tune, which gives me a lot of questions for you. She is a virus. I think the lyrics go like, she is a virus, a razor blade. She made you sick. Her lips burned you. Sounds like a total bitch. Why would you want to kiss the Princess of Death unless you have some sort of protection for those lips? But the best part is that you survived it. In the story, you survived the Princess of Death.
Yeah, the princess, she's so sweet, so dead, and so deadly at the same time, David. I tell you, be careful, she's coming for you.
Well, I wouldn't want her. She seems to be getting around a little bit too much.
No, never, ever. No. You know, it's a, I don't know really what to say about this lyrics, because the princess of this, she can be everything,
right?
You know, and the best thing is she kisses like fire in the sky. Crank it up,
right? That's gotta burn. All right, let's go check out Princess of Death. All right, we get to the final track off of The Signs of Dying, track number 9, The Answer. When you first told me about this release, you mentioned to me that this track was the most melodic on the release. And I do agree with that. But moreover than that, it works with the Science of Dying concept. It sounds like an awakening from a dark place to me, and yet like another personal song. And the answer is lying within that song. And that answer is that you discover life through living.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
does that makes sense? Does that make sense with that?
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. The Answer is maybe the most personal song of all songs I ever wrote. I was looking for so many years for the answer to get out of this darkness, as you just said already. And the fight went over and I became a different man. It's just a part of my life also, you know.
Right.
I fought so many years for things which are not really worth to fight for, like, you know, I must have a bigger car, I have to go there on vacation and this, you know.
Right.
But once in my life, I found that point, I found my destination, I found the answer, what I've been looking for. And I married her.
Congratulations.
So that's the song I wrote for my wife.
Oh, it's very beautiful. And how long have you been married?
I'm married now 8 years.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. So that's, yeah. There was a life of darkness before, and a lot of shit happened. Oh, sorry.
What?
X-rated.
Oh, you can say whatever the fuck you want. It's all right. It's all good.
Oh, really? I can say shit?
You can say shit. You can say whatever.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now you all fucking right. Know. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good, bro. Really, you don't have to worry about that. But basically what you're telling me, I think a lot of people out there all over the world, not anywhere in particular, whether it's Europe, whether it's United States, anywhere, I think in life, we all can relate to finding the answer I mean, unless everybody is happy with everything in their life, which I don't find that possible, really. But maybe people out there are happy and content with everything every day, that the way everyday life goes. But I think more people out there can relate to a song like this. And that's a really cool thing. So let's go crank up The Answer. Well, there you have it, Metal Maniacs. You just heard the CD showcase for Odium's latest release, The Science of Dying. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as Ralph and I did. Ralph, let's tell the fans where they could actually get the CD.
Oh, of course. The CD is available as a download on iTunes, Amazon, or from noiseheadrecords.com, our label. And, of course, from our homepage, www.odium-metal.de.
I see. So you're offering digital download and the physical copy?
Yes. But the physical copy is hard to get. I think Amazon, they have it available, and our label. Because most distributors don't offer it. I don't know why.
That sucks. Like you were saying, maybe it's time Odium gets on a better label that could do better for them.
Yeah,
Maybe it's that time. And what about other merch available to the fans? You have shirts or caps or anything that we could tell the fans of Odium out there what we can give to them, offer to them as far as merch?
Yes, of course. We have, first of all, of course, we have all the older CDs, and we have vinyl available in our shop, and t-shirts, patches, much more, lanyards, and all that nice stuff. But the most important is the CDs.
Yeah,
our new CD. And do me a favor, everybody out there, if you like the CD, go out and promote it. Put it on Facebook. Tell everybody about this fucking great CD, okay? If you like it, go ahead. If you don't like it, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, there you go. That works. Very good. Very interesting. So what is next for Odium? We were talking about the opportunities that may be coming up for you here in the USA. You were looking for some sort of promoter, or you were offered from somebody, I believe you said in Chicago, the opportunity to come and tour in the USA. What is going on with that? Could you express more conversation on that topic?
All right. Through our social networking, we got some contacts to the USA. And one of those contacts asked me, hey, why don't you ask to play in Chicago at the festival? I will not tell any name now.
Okay.
And I said, hey, yeah, why not? So I wrote to this guy, and he said, yeah, why not? Maybe. But we have a bit problems because it's not really a big festival. It's something, yeah, small. So they don't have too much money, and we would need about 6 flights, you know, which are expensive. So we asked our label. Maybe they support us. They said, maybe we have to check. Maybe we can support you. But not with the full amount for the flights. So we need to have some more shows. And so maybe we can split the costs for the flights, you know.
Right.
And the transportation in the USA. Because we would love to play in the USA. And yeah, would be a great opportunity for us. And also, it would be very, very nice for me to meet you in person.
I was thinking the same thing, absolutely.
Because we have to do a face-to-face interview one day.
Yes, yes, we do. Absolutely.
I hope so.
Absolutely. That's the plan. We got to get you here in the USA and here in the New York area especially.
So if any promoter out there is listening now to Metal Messiah Radio and the Metal Meltdown with Dave Softy. It would be great to offer us opportunity to play in the USA. Any venue, we don't care how big it is or how small. We play from 5 people to 5 million, no problem. And I hope it will work.
Well, you know, you have friends in the metal world, you know, bands that have been around, that are maybe more established, that are signed to bigger labels. Can't you get them to take you with them on a tour of the USA, being that you're friends with them? Even though you're at different labels, doesn't that melding or mixing of the labels, can't that, like, work for you guys?
I know what you're talking about. I mean, you know our connection to Destruction or yes. Also Paul Di'Anno now.
Yes.
But it's difficult because they get booked by any promoter and the promoter has to say yes or no. Yeah. They cannot say, okay, promoter, we bring our band from Germany, you know, right. Our support band from Germany, we bring them. So I think this will not work. And as well.
I would never suggest Paul Di'Anno to come to USA with, because I don't know, countless amount of times he had US shows that he couldn't do because he couldn't get his visa. So I would never recommend to a friend in a band to get on a show with him in the United States, because it will never happen.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, really, because I have you seen the Rock in Rio last year?
I don't believe I did. I might have. It doesn't ring a bell.
Do you know about the festival, Rock in Rio? You know it, yeah?
I think I've heard of it.
It's a huge festival about, 150,000 people being at the festival. And Paul Di'Anno had a really, really brilliant performance there. And people were just freaking out. 150,000 people. I mean, imagine. That's... wow. And Paul Di'Anno easily rocks them all.
Very cool.
He does, really.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
I'm not saying anything bad about him personally, but when it comes to doing shows here, his visas, they don't give him a visa, which is very sad. Nothing about him personally, just that with the visa, and you count on someone like that to get on a show with, kind of makes it like a, I don't know, how do you say it? Indian giver. You have a show with somebody coming to the United States, but he can't get in, so what does that do for you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as I just said, it's difficult. It doesn't matter with who you're going to play in the States. For us, it's easy to support bands like Destruction, Sodom,
Tankard,
in Germany.
Yeah.
Because... because we know a lot of people here, and they say, oh, you want to play there? And we say, yeah. Huh? So that's easier, you know?
Right. Everything's always easier said than done, too. I understand that, you know? But you're working, you're trying to get here, which is a very cool thing. And I hope everything works out, because I definitely would love to hang out with you and buy you an ice cream or something.
That would be nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else we could catch the people out there about that we haven't discussed? We filled them in with a lot, talked about the entire CD, what about shows that you have coming up in the near future that we could tell the people about?
Yeah, we have some shows. As I already mentioned, we have two more shows in Germany this year with Paul Di'Anno. And next year in March, we will be on our own headliner tour in Europe. That means we will play some about 12, 14 club shows in a row.
Nice.
Throughout Europe, Czech Republic, Austria, Switzerland, Belgium, Netherlands, and of course Germany. Maybe I can sign something for the UK as well, but I'm not sure yet. So, yeah, we'll see what will happen. And I hope we can play some nice festivals next year. like the Bang Your Head maybe, or the Wacken Open Air. Do you know what Wacken Open Air?
Oh, of course, that's huge.
Yeah, we would like to play there, and
of course, I think that'd be great for you.
I think since 8 years, I'm sending CDs every year. I think everybody of the team has a CD now from us.
Very, very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So hope to get there, and I believe we will have some fun next year as well.
It's really great to hear that. I wish you the best with that. But Ralph, before we conclude, is there anything that you'd like to say out there to your loyal fans that are tuning in at this time?
Dave, like always, I just want to thank everybody supporting us. There's so many metalheads out there. I never thought it would be so many people supporting us. But when it comes to CDs, I had a blast because we sold so many of the new CD in the first 3 or 4 weeks after we released it. And nobody even knew about the release. But
that's amazing. That is amazing.
It was like, wow. I couldn't believe it when I saw how many CDs we sold already. And sometimes people travel like 400 or 500 kilometers just to see us live in a show. It's amazing. And we have our own fan club here in Germany, which makes us very, very proud, because not many metal bands can say they have a fan club. And they travel a lot with us, you know, even if we don't play and they know we are there, they come and see us, and they support us very well. And that's very, very nice.
It's awesome.
And I would like to thank you and Lord Chrisan, Elsie.
Yes, yes.
And everybody doing the best they can to support us. That's really great, and I'm very thankful. We are very thankful for that.
Well, you know, you definitely have friends here for life here at Metal Messiah Radio, as we've proven time and time again. And you know, you always have a place here on Metal Messiah Radio and the Metal Meltdown to talk about ODM music. And we'll be doing this with every release you have out there, because we always have something fresh to talk about. And like I said, every CD you put out there since you've been part of ODM seems to me going in a stronger direction. Just the sound is more improved, and the depth of the music and the lyrics are just a little bit more to it. So I appreciate that, and I want to wish you and all of ODM much more success with The Science of Dying and all these performances. I hope they're great for you in the present and in the future. And I tell you, maybe that face-to-face interview will be for your next CD when you're here in the States.
That would be awesome, Dave.
That would be awesome. That would be something to look forward to.
Yes, of course. And I'm working on it, okay?
I do believe that, because we have talked about it. And I wish I could be more help to you as far as where to lead you, as far as promoters that are booking the shows and all that. And I even recommended to you that maybe LC knows somebody in Florida that could do the same thing. And I mean, I don't have these connections, but word of mouth, that's what this is all about. And with Facebook, hopefully we can get something done for you.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? Just a few months ago, I don't know if you saw the pictures on Facebook. You know who we supported?
I'm not sure.
Obituary.
Oh, Obituary? Wow.
Yeah, the Florida Death Metal Kings.
That's awesome. I'll be seeing them at the end of this month. We'll be catching up with Death Metal Dave, which is one of our DJs here. He's based in Florida, but he's coming up here for the Obituary and Massacre show, and I'll be beginning together with him and meeting Obituary, which I've never met, and Massacre. We know Rick Roz, who is okay. formerly of Death and is a DJ here as well. So it'll be a good experience for me. But I never knew you were together with Obituary for a show. So there you go. Maybe you get better friends with Obituary that bring you over here to play in New York City.
Okay. If you see John Tardy, okay,
yes,
tell him hello from Ralph from Odium.
I absolutely will.
Support band from Frankfurt. And I was the one who drank the whiskey from his fridge.
I will definitely do my best to relay that message to him.
All right.
All right. All right. Let's go hear some older Odium stuff now here on the Metal Meltdown on Metal Messiah Radio. Thank you so much, Ralph. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Dave. It was always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to meet you in person.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that, bro. We say that all the time at each interview, but one day it's going to happen, I guarantee you.
It will happen, guaranteed.
I think so, brother. I'm looking forward to it.